Now I have the pleasure to introduce our speaker, Mark Given. Mark is a keynote speaker, a teacher, a motivator, and coach for national and private real estate companies, and has spoken across the planet for a decade. He is honored to be a senior instructor for the Council of Residential Specialists and REVAC. He has held numerous local and national volunteer positions, including president of the Roanoke Valley Board of Realtors. Mark is an adjunct faculty member and co-author of 3 books. Please welcome me in joining Mark Given as he presents The Essence of Leadership.
Okay, hey, everybody on your feet real quick. Just everybody on your feet real quick. Yeah, I mean, really, you might as well, you know, relax. You're here for 40 minutes, unless, well, you leave before I'm done. Thanks for coming. And I know because you stand up, you can't see me anymore. And, all right. Look, just do this real quick, because I know the conference has been, it's sometimes exhilarating and at the same time exhausting. Would you agree? It's kind of like leadership, kind of exhilarating and exhausting. Would you agree? Yeah, so do this real quick. Turn at least 2 people real quick, either give them a little knuckle bump or a high five. Just tell them how good they look today. Just tell them how good they look. Okay. That's enough kindness. I don't want to take any of time on me. I want to talk about you, but I want you to know that you can connect with me. And you know what? I'm old enough to not even understand what all of this stuff means. But I learned a long time ago that if you don't have a team, if you don't have an assistant, you are an assistant. So I have an assistant, and they tell me that you can find me on all these. Find me. I'll respond. They'll tell me you said something, and then I'll respond. My wife and I have been married for 37 years, bless her heart, we would say in the South. And we have 5 children, and we meant to. And we have 4 sons that are all Eagle Scouts. And we love that. I mean, we love that. I will send that applause home to them because they did the work. And I'm really proud of them. The only thing I could say that I was connected on that was that I was their scoutmaster. And I continue to be a scoutmaster, so at least I've had a piece of that. But we have 4 sons, and then we have a daughter, and she's the baby. So, you know, a couple of you I know, but some of you, most of you don't know me. We love our sons. We love them, and they are wonderful examples of what I would want them to be. But our baby daughter, Carrie, who's 21, the youngest, perfect. She's perfect. My third son, Kyle, just finished up dental school, and he and his wife have 2 children. And Allie is their oldest child. In that picture, that's her face, by the way. I mean, she is a character. The way Kyle dealt with being married with children and college and all that stuff and was to come home. He'd come home every evening and he'd cook. And he loved to cook. He loves to cook. So one evening he came home and he cooked some asparagus. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if you like asparagus, but I like asparagus. If he put that asparagus in front of me, I would eat it. But he put that asparagus in front of Allie, and she looked at him right in the eyes, and she said, "I'm not going to eat that." And he's just a sweethearted, you know, dad. And so he didn't say, you know, "You're not getting up from the table until you do," or any of that. He just let her sit and eat. And after a while, he cut off a little piece and he tried to give her a little piece. And she shook her head. No. And so he didn't push it. He just put the fork down and went on. And a few minutes later, he tried it again. And she looked at him again and said, "I'm not going to eat that." Because some people are that way. Would you agree? And Kyle looked at Allie And here's what he said. Allie, you can do hard things. And she ignored him, like often people do. So after a while, he tried it one more time, and he did get her to take a bite. Now, here's what's interesting. When she took a bite, her eyes kind of lit up. She actually liked it, and so he gave her another bite, and then she stuck her hand right in the plate, and she grabbed a stalk of asparagus, and she ate the whole stalk. And then another stalk, and another stalk, and another stalk. She ate 4 or 5 stalks of asparagus, and he was astounded just watching her just eat this asparagus. And then she got up from the table and she headed towards the living room. But the reason he called me to tell me this story was because she got about halfway, as a 3-year-old would do. And then she turned around and she looked back at Kyle and Lauren and she threw her hands up in the air and she said, I can do hard things. And off she goes. Leadership is a hard thing. It's exhilarating and it's exhausting all of this. It's all at the same time. So look, do this for me real quick. Just turn to somebody again. If they were nice to you before, they'll probably be nice to you again. And turn to somebody real quick and just say to them, I can do hard things. Just say that real quick. I can do hard things. And that's true. So let's go down the path and talk about the essence of leadership. You may have read this book a number of years ago that was written by Jim Collins called Built to Last. And in that book, he talked about big, hairy, audacious goals. If you never read the book, you probably should at some time read the book. Although it's business related, clearly we're in business and all leadership somehow circles around that anyway. But I want you to know that goals are important because we all set goals. We learn from a young age probably to write goal lists, to have, you know, vision boards and all of that stuff. But one of the things you may not know about me is that I've actually written 3 books. And our third book is called The Priority Project, 6 Facets of Achievement. And the focus on that book is really about priorities, because there's a difference between a goal and a priority. And every leader should have some priority. See, the interesting thing about the industry that we're in is that you spend a number of years working up, right, if you're a volunteer leader, and then you finally take the reins and then you're gone. So along the way you set some goals, but see, that final year, it's time to go from goals to priorities, because, well, there's a difference. See, there is, and I can just prove it, and then we'll talk more about the details, the practical side. Because a goal is just this. It's the result or achievement toward which effort is directed with aim or with some end in mind. And we've learned about goals all through our younger lives, even as we get older. But priority is defined a little bit differently. It's a thing that's regarded as more important than another, the fact or condition of being regarded or treated as more important. AEs, executive officers, I think maybe that's not been defined for them, but they understand that there is a difference. I don't think this is a new thought for you. I just think maybe you haven't thought of it this way, that you would separate them. Back in the early 1800s, wait a minute, I'm wrong. Mental cul-de-sac for a second. Was much farther back than that. There was a young guy, young Frenchman named Évariste Galois. Galois grew up a wealthy, blue-blood Frenchman. And Galois loved math And so he went to his family and he said, when they asked him what he wanted to do with his life, how he would lead his life, he said, I'd like to just study math. Well, they were fortunate enough, they had enough money. They could do whatever they wanted to help him. And so they sent him to all the best scholars across Europe to study math. And as he studied through his young years and into his late teens, he had some ideas that might change what he believed might change math. And because he was young, they paid no attention to his counsel or advice. And Galois, when he got in his early 20s, still studying, he made a mistake. He fell in love. But that's not really why, that's not a mistake. The mistake was he fell in love with the wife of a French artillery officer. Of all the women in France he could have chosen, he chose this woman. Well, this was back, you know, many years ago. And back then, you know, we didn't just go duke it out in the alley. Back then, you know, France, blue blood, you know, aristocracy type stuff. How did they settle these disputes? With a duel. That's exactly right. And that's exactly what this woman's husband, this military officer, did. He challenged Galois to a duel. Now, Galois is blue blood. He can't run. He can't disgrace his family by leaving. You know, he's got to stay and face the duel. So I just want to make a point to you that I want you to understand it's important when we set priorities. Because Galois, see, only had a few days to prepare for this duel. The evening before the duel, it's really priority time, right? Because Galois now is making a decision as to how he's going to spend what may be the last little time that he has, possibly on the earth. So let me, look, if you didn't like the person you talked to just a minute ago, I want you to turn the other direction. Because here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds right now, about 15 seconds apiece. If you were Galois, put yourself in Galois' situation. If you were Évariste Galois, what would be your priority for that last, what might be that last evening? How would you decide to spend your time? Got it? Turn to somebody real quick. Just really, 30 seconds, quick. Tell somebody beside you. You got 15 seconds. Okay. Got it. How would you spend your time? Just give me a couple real quick, just for the sake of time. I'm sorry? Target practice. How else?
With his wife.
With the wife. There's always one in the room. No matter where in the world I am, somebody has to say that. Give me one more. You do mathematical equations to figure out how to save your life. Probability negotiation. I didn't hear that one. What'd you say? Eating chocolate. French chocolate, nonetheless. Yes. Well, you know what? Galois did none of those things. He actually sat at his desk, candlelight, because they didn't have electricity then, and he wrote mathematical equations. Although it wasn't the math you were talking about, he actually wrote what he believed were the best form of math that the scholars were not teaching. The new concepts and ideas based on his understanding and his now knowledge and experience. Now, by the way, I'm only telling you that story for one specific reason. Every one of us took math in high school, right? No matter whether you liked it or not. But here's what's interesting. In a couple of hundred years since Galois was alive, Galois presented what was new math, which was algebra. And he put it all in this little book, and then when he passed away the next morning by getting shot in the stomach, and he wasn't around to present his beliefs, his findings, his you know, skills. His family found that little journal later, and they went back to those same scholars later and said, here's what Everest did. Now, because they weren't intimidated, see, because sometimes you can be too pushy. Because they weren't intimidated, they actually stopped and looked at it, and they realized that Galois was onto something. And so you and I did Galois algebra in high school. And your teachers never told you that because you didn't really probably want to be in the room to start with. So they weren't going to tell you a fun story. They were going to teach you algebra. What's interesting about Galois is that we have an opportunity to change lives and change the world too as leaders. He's never been known, really. And you know what? We may not be either. We may not make the cover of Life magazine or Time magazine. We may not be well recognized as we go out into the public, but that shouldn't change the things that we can do to help move the world forward. See, priorities actually keep you awake at night. I'm not sure goals do. So let me ask you to get out a pen really quick, because I've got some things I've got to share with you. But before you do, I got to close this loop. Every leader should have a priority. If you had one thing that you could accomplish in your leadership position this year, what would that priority be? If you could only accomplish one thing, what would it be? Really? Just write it down. You don't have to figure it out. Okay, I'm going to move on because I don't have a lot of time. If I had more time, we'd spend more time on this. But the reality of it is, if you couldn't write anything down, you start back to work on Monday. You need to make a decision. If you haven't decided, you need to decide by Monday. Because leaders need, well, we need to succeed. I'm fortunate enough and blessed to do what I'm doing right now every week, you know, sometimes outside the country even. And I speak to groups all over. And it's a blessing to be able to do it. I talk to leaders everywhere. So I want to share with you what some recent leaders said to me, some of them that had influence on what's going on today. The things that they believe that should be some maybe generic type priorities, not specific, but here's what they said. They said you should not try to accomplish so many things. Don't try to accomplish everything, because, you know, leave something for someone else. They said you should strive for balance. Those two kind of connect. They said you should focus on the right things. But that means you've got to put some thought into what the right things are. They said, you need to be the captain of the ship, but you don't have to be everything. See, the keel of the ship, if you're an association president or a chapter president, board president, I've been president of my local board twice. Yeah, that would tell you something about me. I don't have all my ducks in the water. I've been president of the state CRS chapter in North Carolina. But see, you're captain. But you have a rudder or a ship, which is the crew, and they've got to help you. And you have an AE, which is the keel, which keeps you on track. Let them do that. And then they said, you got to continue the momentum that has already taken place. And then they said, you got to understand local trends, because what goes on, I'm in North Carolina, what goes on in Arizona, no disrespect if you're from Arizona, it's the same stuff I need or my folks need. And you need to learn from past mistakes. That's what they said. And let me go down the path and help you understand how to do that over the next 20 minutes, and then we'll be done. What do you think the key elements are to a great leader? What do you think? Just tell me, give me a couple of answers real quick. Key elements to a great leader. Somebody who listens. What? Excuse me? I'm sorry. Just kidding. Somebody who listens. What else? Leads by example. Good. What else? That's what you were going to say. They stole it from you. How cool is that? We should thank you. What else? Taking chances. Yeah, there is risk-taking in leadership, right? What else? Vision. What was the other one? Delegate. Good. See, you're all right. But, you know, there's one single ingredient that I think is key to all leaders, and it's this. It's integrity. An adherence to moral and ethical principles, a soundness of moral character and honesty. See, you've all known leaders that had the title of leader, but you weren't sure whether you would really follow them. And you might actually play like you're following them, but you won't. Not really. In fact, I've seen this happen so many times when, you know, they don't really want to buck the system vocally, you know, out in front, so they do it behind your back. Integrity is a key issue to being a great leader. In fact, I think the Mark Given system for five qualities of great leadership, and you go ahead. I'll tell you what I'll do. How about if we do this? If anybody that this is an open invitation, if you'll leave me a business card, there's a little table back there in the back beside the polls. If you'll just take out a business card and put them back there, I won't give you the slides, but I'll give you a filled out flyer. Would that be okay? Faster than you can write them down? Send me an email and beg me. Yeah, send me an email and beg me. I'll see what we can do. But if you'll leave, I'll tell you what I'll do, and I'll say this quick. You leave me a business card before you leave. We don't have but 40 minutes today, and there's so much stuff I want to cover with you, I can't. You leave me a card, I'll send you bonus material. I'll send you this, and I'll send you some bonus material, okay? So there you go. Five qualities of great leaders. Here's the first one. Respect for others. You get that. Understanding that there's, gosh, there's so many different people in your organizations and your associations, and they're different. So just have a little respect for them, because you want respect too. So the second quality is to be willing to serve others. You should be willing to serve. And the third quality is to be just. See, there are some times when you're going to have to make some decisions that may not be favorable to everybody. Just be just when you make those decisions. And the fourth quality is an honesty at all costs, which goes back to integrity. It's hard to be honest all the time. But you never have to remember what you said if you just tell the truth. It's a whole lot easier to just tell the truth. And then the fifth quality is if it doesn't build community, and that's hard because sometimes we have dissonant voices, right? So you have to build community. So if you go from the individual leader to a great association, look, do this real quick. This time I want you to turn to somebody, but turn to somebody that looks like they care. And answer this quick question. What makes a great association? Just tell it real quick. Go. 30 seconds. Go. Okay. All right, you got it? So what makes a great association? Give it to me quick. An AE. Hey, if your AE is sitting beside you, turn beside him, slap him a high five real quick. Really, you should do that. All right, so what else makes a great association? Go. Participation.
I'm sorry?
Define your mission and follow it. Key, teamwork. Financial solvency, good. I'm sorry, diversity? Yeah, absolutely. Volunteering, committed leadership. Say that one more time. Oh, reciprocity. Yeah, good. Good. See, you all have great ideas. I want you to write these down. Here's what I think. I think a great association would have a great product or a great service. Now, you don't really have a product. I get that. But I speak to companies sometimes, so I didn't change a slide. Because sometimes I'm talking to companies. They got to have a great product. But as an association, you got to have a great service. The second thing would be great leadership. And I understand how it works. You don't always get the exact perfect leader that volunteers to be on the ballot. So I think Rossi probably is going to talk about that, working with the people you get. If you don't, I know you got to, I love Rossi, so I know that's what he's going to talk about. Great people. You know, John Gordon said you just got to put the right people on the bus, right? And you know this. I don't think this is new to you. And then a common goal. You got to find a common goal. You know, your board has got to be some, you know, agreement. And then I believe you need to have a focus on these things. Improvement, reinvention, because the world keeps changing. It would be easier if it didn't. Innovation, reinvention, mastery, the absolute best you can be. Longevity, because, come on, it's better if we survive. And then let's face it, we're all going to have some sort of legacy. I have a friend that's national president of an organization, and I won't share who and what, because I don't. But in an article that I saw that was written about this president, the president was asked, what about your legacy? And the answer was, I'm not worried about that. And as soon as I read the article, I sent a text to my friend and said, you need to be worried about it. Not because you're going to do anything wrong, but if you're not concerned about your legacy, it's going to take place anyway. People are going to remember you one way or the other, good or bad. So it's not good enough to just say, I'm not worried about it. You need to be worried about it because you do these things. So I think as you work with all these people, there's only two ways to influence human behavior. One way is to manipulate it. Make people do stuff they don't want to do. And the other is to inspire it. Because I believe great leaders, well, leadership is the ability to rally people not for a single event, but for years. See, if you do it right, you'll inspire the incoming leaders of the future. They'll want to be like you. And that's not always easy. Because I believe that you need to think of your team as a big quilt. Because everybody's like a little patch. All these different personalities, all these different skills, all these different understandings, beliefs, experiences. That all these patches placed together should make a beautiful blanket. That's a Mark Givenism. And I believe that's true. And you may have some patches that have little, you know, tears in them or, you know, but the goal is to make it into a beautiful blanket so that we're all together in this. So there's five best questions that I believe new leaders ask. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. Before I give you what I believe are the five best questions, I'd like for you to write on your page to the side what you believe might be a great question that a leader would ask. So you're a new leader. Not brand new. It's May. But, you know, let's pretend it's early in the year. What's one question that you would want to ask as a new leader? Just write one down real quick. Just whatever you want. Who are you asking? Good question. You're asking the people that you're working with. So let's call it your team, okay? The blanket.
What question would you ask? Just write one. That's a great question. Thank you for clarifying. Got it? Okay, this is going to be the last time I'm going to do this today with you. Turn to somebody real quick and just show them what that question was. Show it to them. Tell them. I'll give you enough time to tell them what it was and why it's important. Okay, you got it? You all set? Anybody want to be bold enough to tell me a question? We'll only do three. How may I help you? Okay, good question. How about somebody else? Go ahead. What excites you? Good. Did you see me in my Superman costume there and that? Okay, give me one on this side. Nobody? Go ahead. Can I count on you to plug into the organization? Good. You know what? I bet you had great questions. I think there's five that I teach leaders to use all the time. And with no disrespect to the questions that you had, but here's the first one. If you were in my role today, what are the first three things you would do? Because everybody has an opinion. So you might as well find out. Because you can, well, manipulate people, or you can inspire them. Here's the second question. Well, second thought, which would be, you got to listen and you got to take notes. Be respectful. So here's the second question. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you choose that? Of all the things we could do, why is that important? Here's the third question. What are the three biggest barriers to our success? And by the way, psychologists say that things work in threes. You ask them four, they get confused. Two's not enough, so you ask three. And the fourth question is, what are our three biggest opportunities? And the last question is, anything else? Would you agree that some of the people are not going to be satisfied with three? Can't decide. There's got to be more. Oh, I've got more. That's what they'll say. Oh, I've got more. Oh, good. Well, what else? And you know what? You should ask anything else until they're done. Be respectful. You know, if they got 20 things, okay. Took you a while to write it all down. Because now you got to keep asking why. Why is that important? What's, you know, what? What is it that really, you know? See, here's another Mark Givenism. I believe that when your brain and your heart connect on the why, your team, why these things are important, then the what's and the how's will appear. But until you know the why, we're swimming. This is really my first two books I wrote about the why. You got that? Because every leader has a priority. Or at least they should. What's yours? Before you go back to work on Monday, you need to think about it. See, I think there's four steps to the process of success, and I want you to write these down. Here's the first one. Decide what you want. Just decide. There are people that struggle with deciding. I hope that's not you. The second step is to determine the plan. If you can decide what it is and why it's important, see, when your brain and your heart connect on the what and the how will appear. So you do the why first, and then the what and the how. Determine the plan. And then the third is to estimate the cost. That could be in dollars and cents, but it may also be in energy, time, right? Can we actually accomplish this? Is this something that will take more than us? And then the last, which is difficult for some people too, is commit to pay the price. Because the reality of it is, don't go through the steps if you're not going to commit. I mean, be willing to commit. You got it? Last Saturday, my third son, Kyle, the father of Allie, graduated from dental school at East Carolina University. And so this is Dr. Kyle Lewis Given, DMD. I'm so happy about that. Yeah. See, here's what you don't know. I've got three in college. Now I have two in college. Yeah. So, whoop, whoop. I'm pretty dang happy about that, especially, you know, because it's medical school. Saturday, my whole family got together to go to his graduation. It's the first time I'd had all the kids and all the grandkids together in a while. Grandmothers, I mean, it was cool. In the commencement ceremony, the commencement speaker, in passing, mentioned a word that he was saying that dentists, these new dentists, should reflect. And I, as soon as he said it, I got my little pad right out of my pocket because my mind went generating. Because he used this word. He used this word, virtue. And he said, you should have high moral standards. Virtue is defined as behavior, which is high moral standards. That's how you should be. And I got to thinking about that, and unfortunately I didn't hear all of his speech because now I'm writing notes. And I realized there's a couple of different kinds of virtue. One would be resume virtues, and one would be eulogy virtues. Resume virtues are the skills you bring to the marketplace. They're the things that you do to help, well, you know, make a difference in a way. Right? They're skills. From a realtor standpoint, it's the skills you bring to help your clients and customers. As a leader, it's the skills you bring to be the best leader you can be. As an AE, as a, you know, I think you get it. This is what we write resumes from. That little bio at the beginning was a resume. It was about skills. But the truth is, great leaders cannot just focus on resume skills. They've got to focus on eulogy. I'm sorry. Resume virtues. They've got to focus on eulogy virtues, because that's the way you'll be remembered. It's the way you live your life. It's the example that you set. It's the person in here. Not just how smart you are, but the quality of individual that you are. We need to work on that all the time if we're going to be leaders. Because you know leaders that have it. See, Darren Hardy said it this way, the greatest waste in the world is the difference between what we are and what we're capable of becoming. He's the publisher of Success Magazine. My daughter, Carrie, the perfect, you know, she's perfect. She would say it this way, Dad, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to make a difference in the world, here's what she would say, you got to risk it to get the biscuit. Look, turn to your neighbor real quick and say, you got to risk it to get the biscuit. It's true. God bless you for coming. We're done. Go see somebody else. Give yourselves a hand for hanging in there with me for 40 minutes. Look, leave me a card. I'll send you some bonus stuff, okay? And then I'll send you, every Wednesday, I'll send you a little one-minute message to help bolster, you know, help you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for coming. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Mark. And please go to the second session of your choice down the hall. And please remember to leave your evaluation forms on the tables near the exit doors. Thank you. Enjoy your afternoon.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to begin our second session of the Leadership Express program. My name is Candy Joyce, and I'm the Association Executive from the Middle Tennessee Association of Realtors and a member of the AEC Leadership Programming virtual team. We're excited to present this second session, and I have the pleasure to introduce Mr. Mark Given. Mark's a keynote speaker, teacher, motivator, and coach for national and private real estate companies and has spoken across the planet for a decade. I like that planet thing. You wrote that well. He is honored to be a senior instructor for the Council of Residential Specialists and REBAC. He's held numerous local and national volunteer positions, including president of the Roanoke Valley Board of Realtors. Mark is an adjunct professor as well as co-author of three books. Please welcome me. Welcome Mark with me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody on your feet real quick. Just really, up on your feet real quick. Really. You can do this. I know. It's already. Look, it's nap time in some places. So I know how that is. I hope you loved your first session wherever you went. I've got some stuff I want to share with you that I believe can be helpful to you because, I know it's helpful other places. So thanks for coming. Here's all I want you to do real quick. I mean, you're with leaders from all over the country. How cool is that? But you sat beside, you know, only people you know. So here's what I want you to do. Turn to at least two people real quick. Maybe one you know, maybe one you don't know. You should give them a little knuckle bump or a high five. Tell them how good they look today and thank them for coming. And do it quick. Do it quick. Okay, you can sit down. Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking your time. I understand how valuable your time is, and just the fact that you came here to Washington, and you know, I mean, it's just really good to have you here. I want you to know that almost 16 years now in the real estate industry, I've learned this. If you don't have an assistant, you are an assistant. And my assistant saves my life on so many occasions, and my assistant tells me that I can be found on all of these things. I welcome you to connect with me, okay? So my only really quick spiel so is this. I'm not sure if there were out there. There should have been some sheets like this, real kind of glossy, fancy stuff out in the hallway. I'd love for you to connect with me in any way I can help you. I'd be willing to help. I mean, I'd like to help. And you may want, I mean, I've got to go fast because I don't have a lot of time. So you may want like this handout filled out because you might miss something. So I'll make you a deal. If you'll leave me a business card when you walk out, I had a little table set at the back of the room beside those little pillars. If you'll leave me a business card but when you walk out, there's two things that'll happen. I'll send you the handout filled out. I'll send you some bonus material just for coming because things I just no way I have time to cover. And I'll include you in my weekly one-minute message. So every Wednesday morning, something goes out called Mark's Minute. And every one of them are not going to resonate with you. But some of them, you'll think I wrote it for you. Because I write every one. My assistant doesn't write these. I write every one of them. So that's the deal. If you'll leave me a card, you'll get the handout filled out. You'll get bonus material. And I'll add you to Mark's Minute. And you don't even have to read that if you don't want to. This is one of my granddaughters. My wife and I have been married for 37 years. And we have... That's nice. Thank you. I'm not sure she would say that, but I hope she would. Because we have an anniversary like next week. yeah. So we have five children. And we meant to. And... we have four sons, and if you've got the little thing but you didn't read it, the only thing you really need to know on that, all four of our sons are Eagle Scouts.
So we're really proud of them. We're so proud of them. We're here talking about leadership today. Scouts is about leadership. I mean, so I'm really proud of them. And we love our sons. I mean, they have never, ever disappointed me. Ever. But our daughter is the baby. She is the youngest. So we have four sons and a daughter. And our daughter, Carrie, perfect. She's perfect. I just wanted you to know that. But our third son, Kyle, has two children. This is one of his children. Doesn't she just look like a character? He just wrapped up dental school, and because he has two children, trying to raise a family and all that stuff, he comes home, and what he likes to do is cook. So he cooks nearly every evening. So just a few months ago, he came home from school, he cooked a meal, and he cooked some asparagus, and he set the asparagus down on the table, and little Allie looked him right in the eyes, and she said, "I'm not going to eat that." You ever had somebody you're working with, maybe in your organization, that said to you, they're not going to, or maybe they didn't even say it, you just knew they weren't going to anyway. So Kyle, being just a good dad, he didn't say anything like, "If you don't eat it, you're not getting up from the table," anything like that. He just kind of let it go, and a little bit later, he cut off a little piece, and he tried to give her a piece. She wouldn't take it. She just shook her head. So he put the fork back down, left it, and then a few minutes later, he picks up the fork, and he tries it again, and she wouldn't do it. And on the second attempt, Kyle looks at Allie, and he just says, "Allie, you can do hard things." And she said, "Not this time." She's smart. Yeah. So anyway, he didn't give up and he didn't get mad. And a little bit later, he did try again. And then, by the way, she did take a taste. And he called me because it was ironic what happened next. She took a taste and her eyes kind of lit up. Like, that's good. And so she took another bite that he gave her and then another bite. And then he was going too slow. So she reached right in the plate, grabbed a stalk of asparagus and ate a whole stalk. And then another stalk and another stalk and another stalk. She ate four or five stalks of asparagus and he was astounded. And then she got up from the table. She was heading into the living room, through the kitchen, into the living room. She got about halfway and this little three-year-old Allie, she turns around and she looks at Kyle and Lauren. She throws her hands up in the air and she says, "I can do hard things." And off she goes. Leadership is hard. It's both exhausting and exhilarating. So here's what I want you to do. We got to get started right. Just turn to somebody. Just turn to anybody you want. If you didn't like the people you turned to before, turn to somebody else. And just say this: "I can do hard things." Just do that real quick. "I can do hard things." Just say that real quick. Real quick. And it's true. I don't know if you read this book. Oh, gosh, it's been a bunch of years now. But Jim Collins wrote this book called Built to Last. Now, it was really about companies, industry. But there's, you know, leadership involved in running organizations, associations. And here's one of the things that he said. He said, "We all need a big, hairy, audacious goal." See, when we were young, we were taught to write goals. Right? Write them down, maybe put them on a vision board. And that's true. But here's what I know. Because I've written three books about this, so we've spent a little time studying them. But every leader should have a priority. See, there's a difference between a goal and a priority. And that may not be a great epiphany to you, but I bet you haven't really thought much about that. Because here's what we know. There's a difference. See, if you look at the word goal and want to define it, goal is defined as the result or achievement toward which effort is directed, aim, or an end. We all have goals. We have goals. I mean, you had a goal just to get here safely, right? You had a goal to come to this class and be here when we started on time, right? You had a goal that hopefully this will be good. But there's a difference between a goal and a priority, because a priority is defined as a thing that's regarded as more important than another. The fact or condition of being regarded or treated as more important. And you may not have ever really thought about it, but it's true. And the truth is, most people wait to decide on priorities when it's later than they want it to be. They set goals, and then they realize what they needed to set was priorities. And I can prove it to you. Back, several hundred years ago, there was a young man named Évariste Galois. Galois was from a blue-blood French family. They could, you know, they were wealthy. And when they asked Évariste what he wanted to do with his life, he said, "I'd like to be a mathematician. I'd like math. I want to do math." So they had the money. They sent him to mathematicians all over Europe to study. Well, as he continued to study, as he studied, what he believed was there might be some better ways to do some things than what they were teaching. And so he started collecting that information, studying those ideas, and, you know, that's what he did. And as he presented that to these scholars, they, you know, they didn't want to listen to him. What did he know? He was just a young man, or he was just new at it. And so they paid no attention to him. Évariste made a big mistake during that period of time. He fell in love. Well, that's not really a mistake. But he fell in love with the wife of a French artillery officer. Now, back several hundred years ago, when we had a dispute like that, they didn't go out in the alley and duke it out, right? What did they do? They duel, right? And that's exactly what happened. So that French artillery officer challenged Galois to a duel, and Galois had no choice because he's blue-blood French. He can't run. It would disgrace his family. He must stay for the duel. And he only has a couple days to prepare. Do you think that's going to be on his mind a little bit? Okay, so the evening before the duel, sun up before the duel, Galois has to decide how he's going to spend what may be his last few hours on the earth. Maybe, right? Now, by the way, Galois at that point is shifting from goals to priorities. What's really most important? So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to do this several times, so if you don't like it, just suck it up and get over it. I want you to turn to somebody real quick again, and I want you to tell them. Put yourself in Galois' position just for a second. So you're Galois. If you had that last evening, you know, how would you spend the time? Really, just turn to somebody real quick, make a decision. How would you spend the time? Quick. Okay, you got it? All right, so I need three answers. Somebody give me an answer. How would you spend the time? Go ahead. And who would that be?
His wife.
Oh, well, it's not his wife. It was the other guy's wife. His love. Right. Okay. He's already in trouble. Let's just make it a little worse. What else? Anybody else? How else? Come on. Practicing. So some of you would actually practice shooting. Shooting. What else? Go ahead. Pray. Might be a priority. Here's what's interesting. Galois didn't do any of that. Now, I don't know what you said because I don't get to ask everybody. But Galois didn't do anything of those three answers that we got. Here's what he did. He sat at a desk with candlelight, and he wrote algebraic equations. He wrote math. He wrote down all the things that he believed were the correct math that he wasn't being taught. New formulas, new ideas, which people wouldn't listen to because, well, he did not have the talent to convince them to listen. And then he got up the next morning, showed up for the duel, and he was shot in the abdomen and died. Now, here's why I'm telling you the story. Every one of us took math in high school. Every one. We did Galois algebra. There's nothing been invented or found that's been any better since Galois. So here's what I know. You and I may be just like Galois. Not like his decisions. We may make a dent in the world and nobody will ever know it. I mean, they'll never connect us to it, right? Does it really matter? Maybe to some. To some people, you want to be on the cover of Time magazine, right? But see, I'm telling you, leaders make a difference. So here's what I know. Priorities keep you awake at night. These are the things that bother you the most. And every leader should have a priority. Get out a pen real quick, because you've got a place on your handout. I'm going to give you about 15 seconds right now to write down. If you could accomplish one thing in the remainder of your leadership this year, one thing, what would it be? Don't overthink it. And if nothing's coming, it's okay, because you don't go back to work till Monday. You got time. But every leader should have a priority. So for the sake of time, you can think about that some, but I want to move on, because we got a handout that I want to make sure we get through. I've worked with leaders all over the world, and primarily in the United States. But there are lots of questions that get asked and answered, and let me tell you some common ones that have come up, okay? Some common things that leaders need to create success. They need to not try to accomplish so many things. And that may not be you. But ask your AEs. They may agree with this. You need to strive for balance. Balance in the organization, the association, balance in your life. And there may not be such a thing as balance. There may only be a thing called harmony. You need to focus on the right things. You need to captain the ship, because you're the captain of the ship. See, in my belief, the AE is the keel. That's what keeps you, you know, kind of on the straight and narrow. And the crew, or the rudder, are your committees, your team. But you're the captain. Captain the ship. And then continue the momentum. Whatever the leaders did prior, I mean, don't ignore what they have accomplished. And then understand the local trends. Because what's going on, I'm in North Carolina, so what's going on even in South Carolina isn't necessarily relevant to what's going on. What's going on in Charlotte, North Carolina is not relevant to what's going on in Roanoke Rapids. You got to know your trends. You got to understand them. And then the last one is you got to learn from past mistakes. Now, there's ways that I can help you do that, and I can do that in the next 20 minutes, and we'll be done. Do you want to get it? I saw you taking a picture, and I clicked too fast. Okay. So let me ask you a question. What do you think are the key elements of a great leader? Give me a couple real quick. Key elements of a great leader. Go ahead. Being open. Vision. Perseverance. It's good to see you. Decisiveness. What else? Inspiration. Good. You're all right, by the way. You know, we should be giving high fives. You're all right. But there's one key, I believe, that really makes you the kind of leader you need to be. And it's called integrity. An adherence to moral and ethical principles. A soundness of moral character and honesty. And I'm going to take you down this path for the next few minutes so that you can understand why I believe this. And I can tell you ahead of time, you already know this, because you already know leaders that didn't have it, or don't. There are five qualities of great leaders. So you got your hand out? Because you need to fill this out. This is Mark Given belief. The five qualities of great leadership. The first quality is a respect for others. Understanding that there are so many different personalities within your association and the people you work with that you just need to be respectful of everyone. The second one is to serve others. Because if you're not willing to, come on, you lead by example, not by command. And then the third one is to be just. Be just in your decisions. Don't be tough on some and not tough on others. And then the fourth quality is the honesty at all costs, which is not easy to do. But you know what? Look at me real quick. Come on, you already know this. You never have to remember what you said if you tell the truth. You never have to worry about it. You just tell the truth to everybody. And then the fifth quality is it's got to build community, which is hard to do also because you have different opinions. You have different voices. You have different, experiences. So what makes a great association? What do you think? Look, I can tell you need to talk. Turn to somebody again and tell them real quick. Just tell them, what makes a great association? Tell them real quick. Quick, tell them quick. Okay, you got it? So talk to me. Tell me, what makes a great association? Leadership. What else? Great AEs. Yeah, by the way, if you're sitting beside your AE, you should try to give them a high five again. I bet you're an AE. Okay. What else? Give me two more. Say it one more time. Passion. Focus. Say it. Good faith. Teamwork, good. Let me give you the things that I've experienced with companies all over the place. Here's what I believe it takes to have a great association. Now, by the way, I didn't change this slide. When I'm working with a company that's selling a product, it's a product. You guys aren't selling a product, you're selling a service. But it's a great product or service, you decide. That's the first thing. This is in your handout, it's got a blank. The second thing is great leadership, which means you have to train leadership. It means you have to be forward-thinking enough to get the right people on the ballot, which is not easy to do. You got to have great people. Because you know what? You got a bunch of great leaders in your organization that are not on committees. They're not on the board, right? But they've got a wealth of experience. And whatever's going on in their life that prevents them from volunteering for that title doesn't mean that they're not great additions. There are great people. And then, a common goal. Countries win wars when they have a common goal. Associations win battles when they have a common goal. And I believe you need to have a focus on these things. Improvement, innovation. Innovation and reinvention kind of go together because the world keeps changing. If it didn't change, it wouldn't be, we wouldn't need these, but we do. And then mastery, to be the best we can be. You know what? It doesn't really matter what they did last year or years to come. We just need to be the best we can be. And then longevity. Come on. We need to survive, right? So we got to be smart. And then a legacy. Because you know what? We're all going to have a legacy. We're all going to have one. If you were here at the first session, I don't recognize anybody that was, but there was not long ago, there was a national president of an organization, and I won't tell you who or what, but there was an article in a national magazine about them, and I know. And one of the questions in the magazine was, what will be your legacy? And this president said, I'm not worried about my legacy. And that sounds okay. But as soon as I read it, I didn't even read the rest of the article. I picked up my phone. I sent a text to this friend of mine. And I said, you need to be worried about your legacy. And I didn't mean that because, he needed to worry about his legacy. Because you know what? You're going to leave a legacy. And if you don't worry about it, it's maybe not going to turn out the way you want it to. I mean, you've got to worry about your legacy. See, I believe in all that being said that there's only two ways to influence human behavior. One way is to manipulate it. You can force people to do things they don't want to do. And the other is to inspire it. Because I believe this. Leadership is the ability to rally people not for a single event, but for years. If you're the right kind of leader, if you're the kind of leader that your people want, years from now, they'll look back and say, well, you remember what you did? We should do something, you know, we should continue that on. Or we should, boy, you remember what they did? I'd sure like to be that kind of leader. See, because we all have a team, and I believe that your team is like a big quilt, a Mark Givenism. All the patches need, you know, just placed together should make a beautiful blanket. Which is not always easy, because sometimes there's little holes, that, you know, there's little tears, and there's little... But the point is, you got to get them all in the right place, but at the same time, they don't always have to be in the right place. You know, they can be moved around, and they're still beautiful. So here's what I'd like you to do. If you still like the person around you, that's great. At least try to do this. Try to turn to somebody that looks like they care. And I want you to do this. Tell me, together, just come up with one question. If you were a new leader and you were going to be meeting, now I know this is May, right? But if you were a new leader and you got your group together for the first time, what would be one question that you think that you would want to ask that's going to be a great question of your team? So just get rolling. What would a great question be for a new leader? Go ahead. Turn to somebody real quick and tell them, real quick, I'll give you a minute. Actually, on that little black table. Got 30 seconds more. Just left. That'd be easy. They can reach it. Okay, got it? All right, so give me one. How about you guys on this side of the room, back in the back? You think you're hiding from me, but you're not. So what? Give me one. What's the question? Come on. Say it again. What are your priorities? Good. You were listening. Okay, good. So what else on this side in the back? Come on. What do you think our priorities should be? Okay, what else? Do members count? Well, do they count? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? See, there you go. Good question. All right, what else? Go ahead. Are we all in this together? Not really. I'm just hanging out trying to be president. I'm just waiting for my turn. Right. I'm not really going to do anything. I just want to be president. Go ahead. What's important to you? Good. What else? Go ahead. What's important to the success of our association? Those are great questions. Let me give you the five that I think are great questions that I train leaders to ask. Here's the first one. If you're in my role tomorrow, what are the first three things that you would do? Now, psychologists tell us that it can't be one because they've got more than one. And it can't be more than three because, well, now they're going to take too much time. And they're not going to give you the most important ones. So you would ask for three. That way they would think about it, okay? And you got to know, you got to listen to what they're saying. Don't be thinking about what you're going to say next. You got to be listening with the intent to hear. That's an old Chinese proverb. Listen with the intent to hear. And then you got to write it down to show that you care, to show you're listening. You don't even have to agree. You just need to hear it. And then you would ask why. Why is that important? Why would that be one of your three? And then the third question would be, what are the three biggest barriers to our success? And then you would ask, what are our three biggest opportunities? Now we're heading towards trends. And then the fifth question is, anything else? Would you agree that some people are going to have more than three? So you give them an opportunity, right? Anything else? And you keep asking anything else until they're done. Because here's what I know. When your brain and your heart connect on the why, if you can understand why those things are important to them, and then we can put this quilt together, get a collective common goal. When the brain and the heart connect on the why, that's when the how and the what, maybe the when, will appear. But until we know the why, my first two books, you'll struggle with it. See, every leader has a priority, or should. I don't know what yours is, but you need to decide. And there's four steps to make it happen. So you need to write this down because we're wrapping it up. Our time's almost up. Here's the four steps. Decide what you want. Because the truth is, some people struggle with making decisions. So you have to decide. And you put as much time as necessary into deciding. And then once you decide, then you determine a plan. And then the third step is you estimate the cost. Would you agree the cost could be in money, but it may not just be in money. It might be in time or effort or focus, right? If you can decide what you want, if you can determine a plan, and then you can determine that the cost, it's worth the cost, then you commit to pay the price. No matter what. Because that's the priority. That's the direction. That's where we're headed. Even though there may be some bumps or dissonance or challenges along the way. See, my third son graduated on Saturday from East Carolina University. And by the way, this is Dr. Kyle Lewis Given, DMD. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I'll pass that on to him. But the only piece of it I'll take is you need to know that I have, well, until last Saturday, I had three in college. Now I have two. Whoop, whoop! Yeah. And by the way, you know, getting one out of dental school, I'm really excited about it. Yeah, I can do hard things. So with that being said, I just want you to know that the commencement speaker on Saturday, in passing, he mentioned a word, virtue. And he was reflecting the word virtue and relating it to dentistry, saying, these new young doctors need to have virtue in what they do and how they practice. But as soon as he said that, I got my pad out of my pocket because I always carry a little pad and a pen. And I started writing. And I didn't hear much of what he said after that because I realized that what he was saying was what I wanted to end with today. Because I realized you can define virtue this way, behavior showing high moral standards, but there's really more than one virtue. There's resume virtues and there's eulogy virtues. Because, see, we all have a resume. We have a resume, you know, but the reality of it is a resume virtue is about skills. It's the skills we bring to the marketplace. It's the things we do. You know, when I got that kind introduction this morning, that's my resume, right? We all have one. You know, we write them so that they look good and so people will hire us and they'll, you know, work with us. And that's important. But the truth is, as a leader, you've got to go beyond the marketplace. You've got to go beyond resume virtues. You've got to go to eulogy virtues, because eulogy virtues are the way you'll be remembered. They're about the way you live your life. They're the examples that you set. It's about what's in here. It's not just the great things you do. It's the great person that you are. We talk about great leaders. They're remembered. And I hope you'll be that way too. You know, my daughter, Carrie, would say it differently. She'll say, Dad, if you really want to be successful, if you really want to be remembered, if you really want to do things that make a difference, you gotta risk it. In fact, Darren Hardy says it this way. He says, the greatest waste in the world is the difference between what we are and what we're capable of becoming. But my daughter will say it differently. She says, you gotta risk it. You gotta risk it to get the biscuit. Turn to your neighbor real quick and say, you gotta risk it to get the biscuit. Yeah, God bless you for coming. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Call me anytime I can help you. Leave me a card. I'll send you stuff, okay? Thank you for being here today. Have you got announcements?
I do.
Oh, you want this real quick?